السلام عليكم.
ني هاو.
مع السلامة.
أوي. هالو.
ني
سلام.
هالو.
Hello, hi, how are you? Welcome to International Student Stories, where we share authentic stories from international students studying in the U.S. My name is Simon Hamlin. I am your guide on this journey. Together, we get to explore international students' dreams and passions and the impressive things they do to help shape our schools, society, and the world. Thank you so much for joining us. We've arrived at the second of our two-part interview with Duke Pham. In part one, we learned about Duke's journey from growing up in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, to where he is today, an assistant professor at Santa Monica College. The impact one teacher had on Duke's life compelled Duke to become a teacher himself. In the second part of our interview, we talk specifically about the community college experience in the United States. Duke discusses the impact community college had and continues to have on his life, and he gives us a better understanding of what really differentiates community colleges from universities. I thought I had a pretty decent understanding of the differences, but Duke opened me up to so many things I'd never even considered, and although I'm well past my time as a student, I found this whole discussion extremely fascinating. Let's jump in to part two of Duke Pham's International Student Story. We had our first conversation together, Duke, and out of that, we've decided that we wanted to just focus because we think it's a really important topic and something that's of interest to international students. We want to just focus this next conversation on the community college experience. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding from international students on what that entails, a lot of questions that they have. And I know you're such a big advocate for community colleges, and it's had such an amazing impact on your life. I'd love to get more of your thoughts and guidance and advice for other international students on community colleges. So you started your post-high school studies at Santa Rosa Junior College. You're now teaching at Santa Monica College. Why was community college, that experience, the right path for you?
Thank you for that question. I think it's a great, great question. So as I mentioned in the first segment of the podcast, I did not come from a lot of money. So when I decided to apply to college, the financial factor was a big factor in my consideration of which school to apply to and which programs to look for. The most important factor for me at the time, being like an 18-year-old student, was that a community college education, it's very affordable. I think that for a domestic student, I think it's about $60 per unit. It was about $45 back in the day, but I think it's probably closer to $60 now. And for international students, I think it's about $245 back in the day. But compared to a state university or University of California campus, I think it's a lot more affordable, but you're still able to take the same kinds of classes that you would be able to take at a UC or a CSU. And so I think affordability is a very important factor in my consideration of going to a community college. The other factor was the fact that I wasn't sure what I wanted to study. I wasn't sure what I was good at. And so if you had to pay, say, $20,000 a semester or $15,000 a semester, it's a very expensive cost to figure out price, to figure out what you want to do. But at a community college, you can easily spend $3,000 to $4,000 a semester, and you're able to take the same variety of classes to figure out what you're good at and what you'd like to study. And so I think that sort of ability to take classes at a cheaper price to figure out what you want to do is also another factor that I considered.
And just to be clear, that was still a lot of money for you. Like, I don't want to poo-poo $3,000 to $4,000. Take us back to where your initial money came from just to even study at a community college.
Yeah. So when I left Vietnam, I had some money, I think about $10,000, because it was my grandmother's help. She wanted to help me with my trip. So, you know, she set aside $10,000, which was a lot of money at the time, so that when she passed away, she would give to my mom. But when I wanted to go, she gave that to me. And with that money, I was able to fund my high school education. I was working on campus as well, because foreign students are not allowed to work off campus. So you can only work on campus, and the money is a lot less than working off campus jobs. And so, but I was able to earn enough money to pay for insurance and to pay for my tuition. When I was at the JC, when I was at SRJC, all of that money had been spent. And so I had to work on campus. At the time, it was $8 an hour. But if you work 20 hours a week, that's the limit that you can work on campus. It's possible. It's possible to pay for a full-time schedule at a community college if you work full-time on campus. And so for students who are concerned about their finances and how they are not going to be able to pay for their education, there are ways, there are jobs on campus that they can apply for, and that would help them fund their studies at a community college. The thing about community colleges is that there are also a lot of scholarships as well. And so, you know, once you finish a semester at a community college, you're eligible to apply for what they call continuing student scholarships. You can apply for those and you can cobble together like a bunch of smaller scholarships to help fund and alleviate some of the financial stress. Yeah, so that's what happened.
And can you talk about the 2+2 process, how that impacted you and helped your journey?
For students who are not familiar with the 2+2 or 2x2 model, it's a very unique model to the US because it allows students to take transferable classes at a community college before they transfer to a four-year school, either a state university in California or a University of California school. And so generally, you're allowed to take only lower division courses at a community college. And so things that are common among many majors are usually available at a community college. So things like calculus, general physics, organic chemistry, English, Spanish, those courses are lower division courses. They're not specific to a major. And so you can take them at a community college at a cheaper price. And so when I was at SRJC, I wanted to be a nurse. The high school that I went to, everybody wanted to be nurses. It was just part of that zeitgeist. I don't know what to call it. Yep. But it was just part of the atmosphere. Everybody wanted to be a nurse. And so I started taking what they call prerequisite courses to be a nurse. And that included a lot of science courses. And as I was taking them, I realized that I didn't like touching people that much. And I like to joke around and say that, you know, because in anatomy, we have to dissect human cadavers that were donated for science. I tell people all the time that I'd rather touch cadavers and dissect cadavers than touch real human beings. And that's when I realized that I wasn't interested in becoming a nurse. You know, as much as I was interested in more about the science behind nursing and medicine and physical therapy, I took about 3 years to finish my undergraduate or lower division courses because of that switch in my major. And so I started taking a lot of like pre-nursing courses, which were not really applicable for biology. And so I spent 2 years to get caught up with the biology requirements before I can transfer to Cornell. So it took me 3 years, and I was really apprehensive at the time because I was like, you know, it's supposed to be a 2+2 model.
Right.
So that means you're supposed to spend 2 years at a community college and then you spend two more years at a four-year school. But I'd like to tell the audience that you don't have to worry about that because people take their time with figuring out what they want to do. If you rush through the first 2 years thinking that you need to finish in 2 years to transfer to be on track to succeed, then you'll miss out on a lot of subjects and classes that may change your trajectory forever. And so take your time with it. And, you know, if you worry about the money, you can work on campus to pay for school.
So it could really be called a two or almost three plus two.
Yeah.
Okay.
My sister, who went to the same community college, took 3 years as well. And she was really shocked that she took 3 years.
Yeah.
But I said, I took 3 years too. And my best friend, who's now a resident at UCSF, surgery resident at UCSF, took 4 years.
Oh, so it can be a three or four. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that the audience shouldn't be worried too much about how long they take at a community college. They should worry more about figuring out what they're good at and what they would like to do.
That's great advice.
Because students ask me, Professor, I don't know what to study. I don't know what I'm good at. And I don't know, you know, what I'd like to do for a living. I usually tell them there's two things you need to figure out. The first thing is you need to figure out what you're good at. The second thing is that you need to look around in your community and find out what your community needs. Because if you just focus on what you can do to provide for yourself and your family, your immediate family, your parents, maybe your sisters, your siblings, at some point you're going to accomplish that goal and you're going to run out of inspiration for a career, right? A career should be a lifetime endeavor. But if you figure out what you're good at and what your community needs, the inspiration that comes from your community is endless. If you look around your community, there's so many needs on so many fronts. And so if you can identify that niche that you can contribute to, the inspiration for your work, for creative work and for your career is almost endless. And helping your community makes you feel like you're contributing to society. And when you do that, I guarantee that you'll find a lot of fulfillment in whatever you do. So find out what you're good at first and then figure out how you can use those skills to help your community. And I think if you answer those two questions, you'll be able to find a really rewarding career. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I love the expansiveness of that approach versus just having one set goal that, like you said, we're going to accomplish that goal at some point, as opposed to looking at our community where there are endless goals that we can constantly set. And also, I would think that it plays to really the type of person you are, which is a learner and a teacher. And the community gives us endless opportunities to learn and to teach. So I can see how that philosophy really fits in with who you are as a person. When you look at your students, who are any of your international students in your current classes, and also look at when you were an international student and talking with your fellow international students, how many actually knew before coming to a community college that there was even such a thing as a 2+2 program?
I think that because the 2+2 or 2x2 program is so unique to the US, that students from other countries are not familiar with that path in general. And so I had the impression when I enrolled at SRJC that I could finish my bachelor's degree there. It's changing now. There's an asterisk to that because there's a lot of community colleges nowadays that offer four-year or bachelor's degree. For example, at Santa Monica College, there's a bachelor's degree in interactive design. So it's possible to even have a bachelor, a four-year degree at a community college nowadays. But at the time, I wasn't aware of that pathway until I read up about it. In fact, like when I found out about Cornell, it was through hearsay. It was in a chemistry class. And somebody talked about wanting to transfer to Cornell. And the word transfer didn't really register with me a lot at the time because I was really clueless about what I wanted to do. But it was just through hearsay. It was a student from Hong Kong. And she was like, yeah, my dream school to transfer to was Cornell University. And I'd never heard of Cornell. You know, we'd heard of Harvard and Yale. But outside of those two schools, I have to admit that I didn't know about even the Ivy League concept. And so I was that much out of touch with reality, or not reality, but more like I was that clueless. And I think that it's a common sort of theme among students from like a lower socioeconomic background. If your parents never went to college, like my parents never really went to college and they're not familiar with the American education system, we don't know about the Ivy League institutions.
Right. How would you? Yeah. I mean, it's exactly. Like, we don't know what we don't know. It's the exactly. old saying, we don't know what we don't know. So how could you be expected to?
Yeah, but it's actually a very good thing to know, because when you go to a community college, when you transfer, if you transfer to a state school, then there isn't this program called need-based financial aid. What need-based means is that the admissions people, the financial aid people, look at how much your parents can contribute to your tuition and your living expenses. And they say, okay, if your parents can contribute, say, 70%, we will match that and we will contribute the other 30% so that you can attend our school. For international students, there isn't that need-based financial aid consideration at a state university because it's funded by the government. And so that financial aid is only available to domestic students. But at private schools, Cornell, Harvard, and all of these other schools, they are able to provide need-based financial aid to international students. And so it is possible to transfer to a four-year school and get a scholarship to go there.
What are the biggest misconceptions that you've seen international students have about community colleges?
That is inferior to universities or colleges that are four-year in the U.S. And I have to say that you have to understand that the fundamental difference between community college professors and university professors or four-year school professors is that we are hired to teach. We are not hired to do research. Four-year school professors, they're hired to do research and teach. For most professors at a four-year school, teaching is secondary to research. And so we are dedicated as community college professors to teaching. That's our job description. And so we spend all of our time interacting with students, making sure that students understand the concepts. And so there's a lot more hand-holding and a lot more interaction that we can give to students. I don't blame the university professors for not, you know, putting teaching as their first priority. And that's because there's only so much time that they can dedicate to teaching if their main goal is to do research, right? And so a lot of them want to be good teachers, but they just don't have enough time to do so. But as community college professors, we are dedicated to the profession of teaching. And so we can spend more time with students. So I think that the quality of education at a community college is, in my opinion, superior to the quality of instruction and education, more like instruction at a four-year school. And so I think that that's the most common misconception that students, international students, have about community colleges.
If a student came to you and said, I'm debating between going to a university or a community college, what would be the factors that would make you say, okay, a university is the right choice for you? And what would be the factors that would maybe make you say, actually, a two-year community college would be the right choice for you?
So the first thing I would ask that student is, do you know what you're good at already? What you are interested in studying already? If you are, then commit to a four-year school, because quite frankly, there's a lot more resources at a four-year school than a two-year school. I'll give you an example. If you are interested in going into the biomedical sciences, you can't really do research at a community college that is sort of pertinent to biomedical research. There's a lot less resources for research than at a four-year school. And so if you know what you want to study already, and you know that there are not going to be the kinds of resources that you need to succeed in that field, then choose a school, especially a four-year school, that can provide you those resources. But if you don't know what you're good at yet, or what you want to study, or what you want to do, going to a community college is a more affordable way of figuring out those questions. Because you can still take biology, you can engage in lab exercises and lab practices that would help you realize if you want to do biomedical research, or you can take an English class or history class or political science class without having to pay a fortune for it. If finances are of consideration for you, then a community college option is a better option, in my opinion, if that's of concern, if finances are of concern. So I would ask students those two questions.
That's really helpful. I think that's a really good advice. And I'm not sure all students necessarily approach it that way, but that's such a clear way to figure out which path is right for you as a student. So it's good to hear. You teach general human anatomy and human physiology at Santa Monica College. Is that right? So things have come full circle for you. You started as a student at a community college. Now you're a professor at a college. If Duke Pham, the student, was just arriving in the U.S. and was attending your class, so with Duke Pham, the professor, what would Duke Pham, the professor, want to tell this new student, Duke Pham, the student coming into class?
Wow, I've never been asked that question before. I would say have more faith in yourself. Have more faith in yourself and don't be afraid of feeling embarrassed that you don't know something, because that's how I felt, even at a community college. I felt that I was embarrassed that I didn't speak clearly and I couldn't articulate myself, and that people got confused when I was trying to explain to them something. And I was really embarrassed by that. But it was that embarrassment that made me want to change it, want to change the situation. And in anatomy, we talk about a system called the limbic system, and it's the emotional system of our brain that connects to the memory forming region called the hippocampus. And whenever you feel embarrassed, you angry, or you feel like you're loved, the limbic system lights up and it connects to the hippocampus where memory is formed. And that's how you form long-term memory. And so these emotions, embarrassment, feeling unsure about something, or even anger, can actually help you remember things. And so it was those embarrassing moments that somebody pointed out that I said something wrong. For example, when I first came to the US, I didn't know how to pronounce the word office. I said offix. I didn't say office. But it was that friend who pointed it out to me that it was office. And I was really embarrassed at the time that I didn't say that correctly, that I remember to this day that it's supposed to be office with a softer S. And so I would tell myself that don't be afraid of embarrassment. Don't take it personally, because if you come from a different culture where people don't really joke around as much, in the US, I think people are more open-minded and people like to tell jokes, and I would not take them personally. I think that's the biggest thing I would tell myself, is just don't feel like you're not good enough, that you're embarrassed because you can't do something yet.
We're very lucky to get both versions of Duke Pham in the US, the student and the professor. And this has been really helpful and great information for myself and for international students on just better understanding community colleges and how to decide whether or not it's the right choice for a student. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. I want to thank you for guiding me through this process and asking very good questions. And it really helped me convey what I really want to tell future or current international students in the US. I'd like to tell them that they should have more faith in themselves, that they do belong here. It's a wonderful country with a lot of resources, with a lot of good people. And you just need to reach out when you need help. And most of them will respond and will try to help as much as they can. So don't be afraid of reaching out.
Thank you again for listening to International Student Stories. And thank you to our team for putting together this episode. Stories are meant to be shared, so please pass the story on to a friend or family member who needs to hear a good story. A few other quick notes. I invite you to check out the show notes if you want more details on some of the topics discussed in this episode. For all the latest podcast news, stop by our website, studyintheusaglobal.com/podcast. That's studyintheusaglobal.com/podcast. Subscribe to the International Student Stories podcast to be alerted on new episodes. And contact us if you know of a current or former international student whose story needs to be shared with the world. Goodbye for now, be well, and much love to each and every one of you.